on the novation of derivatives.
Yeah. Thank you. Last month at board meeting, you discussed an issue related to novation of derivatives, and you agreed to make an urgent narrow scope amendment to IAS 39, IFRS 9, connected with when a derivative contract is required to be novated to a central counterparty as a result of laws and regulations. And this was in response to G20 calls for central counterparties to be used for over-the-counter derivatives. Now, since after that board meeting, a number of stakeholders approached us with concerns about sort of the scope of the amendment that we had discussed last time. In particular, we had talked about the fact that no other terms of the contract should change other than the names of the parties to that contract. And their concern was that from a practical point of view, there will inevitably be changes to sort of additional aspects of the contract, such as collateral. And so they were concerned that if we were to proceed with the amendment based on the assumption that no terms changed the contract, that in fact the amendment then wouldn't apply to anybody and would obviously defeat the objective. So what we wanted to just raise with you today was that concern that had been raised, and that we proposed that in the ballot draft that we would send to you later this week, that would include some language as has previously been, you know, circulated to you on the pre-ballot draft, that there would be an exception that any changes to the novation that were directly attributable to the novation, sorry, changes to the contract directly attributable to the novation, such as changes in collateral, would be wouldn't defeat the purpose, so would allow the continuation of hedge accounting in those circumstances, but still keeping with this is the mandatory novation as a result of laws and regulations. So given that that was an important change, we felt, to the proposed amendment, needed to bring that to you in a public meeting to confirm that you were in agreement with that narrow change.
Let me make a point. Yeah, go ahead.
Just to add one thing to that, I agree with what Michael's just said. One thing we have done or proposed in the basis for conclusions to the document is to confirm that in the event that there was, for example, a change in the collateral arrangements for the novated derivative compared with the original derivative, that would be reflected in the fair value of the hedging instruments. So it would flow through to effectiveness testing, et cetera. So it's not as if, you know, you can pretend nothing's changed. It would still be reflected in the fair values, and we've highlighted that in the basis for conclusions.
I think with Sue's addition to that in the basis of conclusion, my reading of the pre-ballot draft was that perhaps, given the fact that this is not a legislation in one jurisdiction, this is a legislation which can be in multi-jurisdictions, we don't know what else can be there. I think we need to be very specific, and I felt the wording that is there in the main document perhaps can be too broad, and something else can go into it. I think we need to re-emphasize, my view is that basis of conclusion needs to be brought forward to the main document. I would not put it in basis. I would bring it to what Jasu said here. And I would not put it as an example, but I would be very clear what we intend that can be there, rather than examples and broad. It should not be open to too broad a thing, because there are many countries which have not passed this legislation. There can be a room for people doing things that we don't intend. Because last month, Pat Finnegan asked this very simple question, are you intending anything more than that? And most of the board members said, no, we just meant this. But now we're coming back and opening it, and I just don't want it to be open too broadly.
We're certainly open to that. We're trying to balance the narrowness of the intended scope without it being so restrictive nobody can actually use it. So
that's fair. I agree with that, but we just need to balance that, because of the way it is worded right now for me. I've not said I can drive a truck through, but I can drive a cycle through.
Actually, last month I already feel some uncomfortable to raise to us my concern. You know, I look at the email you give to us, I feel happy on one side, but not feel happy on the other side. Happy on one side that is, you know, the changes as a result of the, you know, the innovation. And it will be quite a very big, you know, area, you know, as a result of. And I'm happy, but on the other hand, you give the example that is cultural. You know, it depends on how people interpret this example. If some of people, you know, interpret the example, it is the only one, then there will be some dangerous other changes, possibly as a result of the innovation. For example, I expect, you know, there will be additional charges as a result of a new regulatory regime. And whether it should be there or not.
I think it needs to be broader than just collateral. Because
Yes, this is what I want to say, you know.
Yeah, because I think, for example, there could be differences in the way the offsetting works because you're dealing with a central counterparty. There could be, you're right, a slight change in margin because of costs. We're trying to capture things that are sort of a necessary consequence of innovation, if I can put it that way. Maybe we need to work on words along those lines.
Yeah, so this is why I say, you know, as a result of innovation, I agree with, but on the other hand, you know, how wider, you know, I don't feel only one example is enough, but I don't know also how, you know, many examples, but definitely fee definitely will, you know, increase. You know.
Okay.
Mary.
A suggestion that I have for the invitation to comment rather than a change in what we are proposing. I know that the proposal is limited to innovations that are required by law or legislation. Having gone back after our last meeting and read, for example, the correspondence related to the U.S. FCC relief, it noted that because the rule was being applied prospectively, the requirement for central counterparties was being applied prospectively, outstanding derivatives were, I think, in some cases permitted but not required to be novated, and there was a phase-in period. So some had to be, some you could do it voluntarily, and the SEC gave relief for any that also were voluntarily novated. I don't think we should change what we are proposing given the discussions that we had, but I think it might be good to ask a question if this very narrow focus is going to have a similar, you know, undercutting the objective of innovations that are responsive to legislative changes.
And I think we're planning to take you up on that suggestion, okay. Not least because in Europe the legislation isn't even final yet, so we don't quite know what we're dealing with in some jurisdictions. The other thing I just wanted to mention is that at the last meeting the board had requested that we have a 30-day comment period, which is very short by our standards. I just wanted to let you know that we had spoken to the Due Process Oversight Committee about that, and they're comfortable with the 30-day period given the narrow nature of the amendment proposed.
All right.
Lisa to Lisa.
Lisa.
Thank you. Good afternoon. This is an ISB-only leases discussion because the topic for discussion is IS 40. So it's basically that as part of the process we're going through in drafting the revised leases ED, there's one issue that's come up in terms of sort of consequential amendments to IS 40 that we think is worth discussing with you. So with that, I'm going to hand over to Anna, who will tee up